My next guest is the very definition of an adventurer, a global one at that. You might call him the real-world Forrest Gump on two wheels. His name is Bob Dolvin. He's just completed a 14-year journey around the world, 14-year journey around the world across 80 countries on his motorbike. And his final destination was Invercargill a week or two ago, but he's back home now in Phoenix, Arizona, where we join him. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Karen. How are you going?
Good, thank you. You're happy to be home?
I'm happy to be home. It's wonderful here, but I got to tell you, we sure did enjoy your New Zealand.
Did you? Great stuff. So this epic journey, how and when did it begin for you, Bob?
It began in 2008, carrying over into 2009. I was experienced a huge betrayal in my career, and I really had to do something to turn that around, to make that lemon, take the lemon and make lemonade out of it. Just do something bigger and better to right that wrong. And so I started a 501c3 corporation. I rode my motorcycle to the 48 states in the United States doing random acts of kindness, just doing nice things for people. Well, during that time, I fell in love with long distance motorcycling. And so I pointed it south. Thought, hey, let's try to ride through Mexico. Everyone warned me, oh, don't go to Mexico, it's scary. Well, you get to Mexico, they say, don't go to Guatemala, it's scary. The Guatemalans say, don't go to El Salvador, it's scary. And so on and so on and so on. So it started out to right a wrong, to make lemonade from a lemon.
What was the lemon, if you don't mind me asking? What happened?
Well, one interview last week, they said, don't concentrate on the negative thing. You know, I went into great detail on that. And to put it, I'm an airline pilot full time. And I did a small thing similar to a motorist exceeding the speed limit. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I exceed the speed limit, the posted speed limit now and then. And, put that in terms of flying an airplane, I did something as benign as that. And the chief pilot, who is supposed to stick up for the pilots, threw me under the bus and turned me into the FAA. I fought it for a year and I knew I had to do something bigger and better. And I just said, well, I'm going to go do nice stuff. They gave me 2 months off work, 60 days. I went out and did random acts of kindness, just going up to people and doing nice things. I wrote a book about it, and that's how it starts out. But, you know, as I was suggested on an earlier interview, that, hey, don't concentrate on the negative because there's so much positive that came out of this.
Yeah, that's true. But still, it's good to know what actually happened. You got the sack, basically, and
sure,
then decided to, as you say, make lemonade from a lemon. But you named your bike Andiamo, and your book's called Andiamo Full Circle. Why did you name it Andiamo?
Oh, that was a great day on the Amalfi Coast in Italy. Mediterranean Sea, waves crashing ashore. And I kept hearing mothers say to their children, andiamo, fathers saying to their daughters, andiamo, wives saying to their husbands, andiamo, andiamo. So I went into this gelato store and I asked the guy, hey, what is this word, andiamo? He says, oh, mate, in his Italian accent, he says, it's a great word, it means let's go. So let's go in Italian is andiamo, and from henceforth I called my motorcycle Andiamo.
Oh, nice. Well, you're on your own or did you go with someone?
I did this a solo journey until about my 79th country or so. I was riding Australia and met a nice woman, and she rode all of Australia with me and all of New Zealand with me. And one thing led to another. We got married and we planned future adventures.
On the back of Andiamo, or did you have a separate bike?
Yeah, no, Andiamo, it was the greatest thing. we donated Andiamo to the E. Hayes Motorworks collection, which houses Burt Monroe's motorcycle.
Yes, so, an Invercargill, amazing.
Yeah.
That would have been a sad moment for you, though, was it?
Oh, Karen, the last 23 kilometers, we rode in with about five or six other bikers, and those last 23 kilometers, I had to open my face shield because the tears were gushing. And it sounds like an exaggeration or cliche, but honestly, I was broken up after 14 years of riding that motorcycle around the world and all the countless experiences. I just couldn't control myself. I could barely keep the bike on the road. I was, the tears were just shedding.
Yeah, I
And then I
bet.
got there. So I got there, and in Invercargill, they had some news folks there, and I couldn't even talk to them after, I had to take a minute or two. But it was, quite emotional, as you asked.
Yeah, look, it's not 14 months, 14 years. And if we think about that, that's 14 years. If you take that off your lifespan now, that's a very, very long time to be on the road.
It is.
A
It
lot of
is.
adventures, some amazing things must have happened along the way. And it's too many to kind of talk about, I guess. But what were some of the highlights?
The highlights, there's so many, and I didn't set out to ride my motorcycle around the world, and I didn't set out to for a 14-year journey, and I didn't set out to write a book. But after so many people said, "Hey, you should ride around the world. Hey, you should write a book," it just morphed into that. I didn't. It wasn't my original goal or intent, but I did. After so many stories, I had to write a book, and it's there's so many experiences. I guess I get asked, what was the scariest? Well, the scariest in which country? I have to kind of further ask that. And I have
Yeah.
one particular time, which I'm proud of the results, was in Chechnya. Every good experience was followed by a bad, and every bad experience was followed by a good. So that's really what I took away from this ride, is that, hey, if I'm having a hard day, it's gonna get better. It's gonna get happier. I know that for a fact. And so in Chechnya, the Chechen TV station did a little piece on me, and then they took me out for dinner, and they showed me these guys are at war. It's they're trying to separate themselves from Russia, and they showed me some of their materials, let's just call it. And it was a great evening. They hosted me, and then the next day, it went good to bad. I was riding away from their town, and a Chechen military officer pulls me over, and he used his iPhone app, and I used my iPhone app to communicate. So I noticed, he's typing it in, and he says $1,000, and out of principle, Karen, I'm not going to pay $1,000 for crossing the double yellow line on the roadway. It's just, I feel very strongly against that. So I realize they have their job, and this is how they make additional money. So I was warned, and after that many countries, this Russia wasn't, early on, it was late in the game. So I carried five passports, five driver's license, and I could play the game. I gave him one of my fake driver's license, fake passports, and then said, he said $1,000. I said niet, means no in Russian. And I walked away, and he said skolka, and thank goodness I knew a couple Russian words, and skolka means how much. So it was game on from that point. And he said $1,000. I said niet, and he said how much. I said 500, and I didn't, and he didn't clarify what currency 500 would be in. He assumed $500, but no, 500 Russian rubles. I had a 500 note in my billfold, and I handed that to him, and I said, "There's 500." He was less than happy with that. However, that was the game. I mean, I said 500 and I fulfilled that. So the previous night, good, followed by bad. I knew every time, every experience like that, it would always change. It would always get better, you know, and the good days, there'd be bad ones falling, but hey, after that, it's another good day.
Fantastic. And you're home now. Well, thank you so much for joining us here in New Zealand. And if anyone
Oh,
is
yeah.
at the museum, the E. Hayes Motorworks Collection, it's not a museum actually, it's a motorworks collection, isn't it? So they can look at your bike. So thank you very much, Bob, and I hope you enjoy your time at home.
All right. Thanks, Karen. Thanks for having me on.
Look great. That's Bob Dolben. We're speaking to Bob in Phoenix, Arizona. He's back after that epic journey, 14 years around the world, 80 countries on his motorbike, Andiamo, and he has his book, Andiamo Full Circle. Sorry, I didn't get to ask him how he afforded to travel the world on his bike after getting the sack. Well, he must have had a collection of money somewhere, you know, to pay for the gas at least. But that's probably in his book, I would say.